Blog Talk Radio.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
1,489. Not bad. On the road to 1,500, y'all. Welcome. As we get ready to spread the Hump Day Fair in front of you, here at Soul Team Ready Winner Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is great to have you here. Soul Team Ready Winner Raw, the Hump Day Special, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Not some, but all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network and the rest of the sheriffs that will be filing in. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. We've got some great Virginia intel to bring on to you, as well as the Orlando Ledbetter. Love to our colleague Sonic Cheryl Jones, who is recuperating. Vicky Hampton, Sr. in Detroit, Mike Robeson in Oakland, California, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba in Western New York, which, Rochester, Buffalo area, and the rest of us is sitting here kicking it. Now, as always, riding shotgun with me, the bad man from the East Bay, just parking the six, Gary Norris Gray. Well, G.
Good evening, my fellow Americans.
Gary?
I had to do a morning call a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But, Michael, last night at midnight Pacific time, the Oakland City Council voted 7-4. To give the A's some money to stay in Oakland.
Some money?
To build that new project.
Okay.
The caveat is this. They will need county money to finish this project. You have the city of Oakland.
Yep.
You have the Oakland A's,
right.
And you have the county, Alameda County.
Okay.
Alameda County has told them, look, you have X number of dollars to play with. That's it.
Right.
If you go over that, we ain't helping you.
Okay. So if they do go over that number, G, then what do they do?
What, say again?
If they do go over that number, then what do they do?
Well, that's the question, see, because you have four members of the city council who are strongly against this thing. You have the uplands people who do not want this thing at all. So you have this war, this cultural war going on between the uplands and the lowlands.
It sounds like a bad episode of Married with Children. We got Tony McClane with us.
Yes, and I'm
wondering if this is a case of, I'm the old man in the mountains, and I don't want them painted.
But also, Michael, there's a racial overtone in it, too.
Okay.
Well, most of the uplands are Asian,
okay,
and white.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the lowlands are black and Latino.
Aha. Uh-huh. Sabotaging. What do you think, T?
Sounds like Tower of Power versus let me think of of Gorman Chinese Theater, basically, down there. But just another day.
Five hours.
Go ahead.
5 hours and 45 minutes. I mean, what are you doing?
Wow.
Well, I guess this is the Hail Mary that everybody was thinking it was going to be in regards to in regard to, you know, keeping the A's in Oakland. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, just another day at the city, at the Oakland City Council meetings.
Yeah, gentlemen, I believe A's already gone because of the Raider problem last 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute, G. I mean, they're telling them face up, we'll give you some of the money. Now, I've never heard any franchise city board in anywhere, Tony, help me with this, say, we'll give you some money. You know, like normally they would say, okay, we'll give you some money, and then you can fill up the bond or something to that effect that will cover the total cost. I mean, it doesn't sound like the warmest response in the world, you know?
Well, it's a non-binding contract. When we think about it, it's anytime.
So, physically, where is the new ballpark they're talking about?
It's our terminal, which I think digs. Our terminal is very difficult to get to if you're walking.
So is that our
terminal has no connection to any transit anywhere.
Well, wait a minute, it's a terminal. It's not a BART station, Gene?
No, it's a nothing.
Sounds eerily like the Braves going to Cobb County.
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, this is a really, really bad. I'm sorry, guys. This is a bad.
How far away are they from the mausoleum?
They'd be about, let's see, 20. About 10 miles from the current Barton.
So about a half hour drive away. So they're a half hour. Are they closer? Dare I say it? Are they closer to Frisco than they are to Oakland?
Are they closer to where?
Are they closer to Frisco than to Oakland?
Not really.
Not really? Oh, okay.
It is a terrible location.
Is it upland or lowland?
It's lowland.
Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, Mike, I guess it has to be for stadium, because, you know, you got to, it has to be lowland, I think, almost. Yeah.
I'm fixing to find there's going to be a feud going on.
The weird thing is that if you go by what the stories are, oh, by the way, end of 3-5-1 Houston from H-Town.
All right.
If you go by what the murmurs are going on with baseball, they're probably going to have a little extra time to get this done, because it looks like all the lockouts and all that other stuff is literally going to start in December, and it's going to hold up. Possibly hold up the winter meetings and they're literally digging in trenches. So, you know, enjoy these games, all 12 of you that are watching. By the way, you know, matter of fact, if you go to our website. Good news and bad news, but probably a little more bad news. Lowest rated game one since last season. But
wow.
Yeah, but see, here's the funny thing. It's the sixth most watched event since the beginning of COVID.
Holy shit.
Since March of 20. Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, for baseball ratings, it's the lowest game one in quite a while. Overall, It was. As a matter of fact, it only the Olympics, Super Bowl, and I think a couple of NCAA games had higher ratings overall. But game one ratings, apparently cockfighting from Bolivia got a few more folks than game one.
I am not gonna be happy.
Gary, you're never going to be happy.
And they got that stupid come on top.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the funny thing. You know, A. Philip Manfred did all he could to keep the All-Star game and everything out of Atlanta. But
how about
in
that?
A sense, they're getting their – not so much getting their – but, you know, they're gonna I would think if – If the score still holds up as it is tonight, they get three games in Atlanta, which will all but make up for the loss of All Star Week.
But guys, look. The commissioner said last summer, please stop using the tomahawk chop. These idiots wait until October or September to bring that thing back again. As long as the Braves were losing, they didn't do that. When they started winning, here we go again with this thing.
But you know what,
Gary?
As a small aside, we have to start taking back some of the nasty things we've said about the Atlanta baseball fans, because every home postseason game has been a sellout.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess it was the genius and desperation that drove them to fill those seats up. But it's also,
to be fair, it's a different fan base now, because they were closer to the the city.
That's
now
right.
They're out in the boonies, basically, and well, albeit it's still sort of difficult to get out there. But basically,
yeah,
if you've got a car or what have
you, really one of those things.
Put it this way, and also I would like to think, and I could be wrong in this, but I'll put it out there. I'm guessing because now that they know that. I'm sure that when they were making the thing for the playoffs, maybe they added a shuttle, or maybe they added a little bit more whatever.
Games. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. Exactly. Because truth be told, I know Metro North has on Sundays they have a special shuttle that goes directly to MetLife Stadium now. They started that about 3-4 years ago, and they've done that now for Yankee Stadium. I don't know if they've done it for Shea, but see, they've always had a station. I'm sorry, God forgive me, Citi Field. Old habits are hard to break. That's why I gotta watch the Baltimore Colt game tomorrow night, I guess.
Exactly. Well, gentlemen, I do have something that I passed on to both of you last night as members of the MIG line, and we may step away from it as Reggie will come in with some intel regarding the Virginia elections down there. But it does not matter whether it's the casting couch in Hollywood or going up the corporate ladder by sleeping on the job. If somebody wants to move ahead, and if somebody is a gatekeeper, they will do everything, in some cases, to cock block you. And I do literally mean cock block this time. I will take you stage right to the latest out of Chicago.
The manager of the Chicago Blackhawks is out after a bombshell sexual misconduct investigation. Stan Bowman, who has also stepped down as general manager of the U.S. Men's Olympic hockey team. The investigation found he and other Blackhawk executives did not take action for 3 weeks after a player identified only as John Doe reported an alleged incident with the then video coach there, Brad Aldrich, back in 2010. A warning first, though, the details from this report are graphic. Quoting now, Aldrich threatened John Doe by telling John Doe he needed to act like he enjoyed the sexual encounter or John Doe would never play in the NHL or walk again. He then forcibly performed oral sex on John Doe, masturbated on John Doe's back, and threatened John Doe again before he was able to escape Aldrich's apartment. Investigators say the player told a confidant about that encounter and made it clear it was not consensual. Local coverage now from NBC5 Chicago and their reporter Chris Hush.
Nothing was done by the other senior leaders to address the situation.
The bombshell report of the independent investigation led by Jenner & Block law firm claims that five members of senior management at the Blackhawks delayed taking action on a report of a 2010 sexual misconduct allegation until the Stanley Cup playoffs were over.
Several witnesses recalled and later told others about a discussion that then ensued during the meeting regarding whether the time was right to address the allegations against Aldrich in light of the ongoing playoffs.
The investigation was launched after a former Blackhawks prospect filed a lawsuit claiming the team's former video coach, Brad Aldrich, sexually harassed him in May 2010. The investigation found the allegation wasn't addressed for 3 weeks.
Aldrich was then given the option to undergo an investigation into what had occurred with John Doe or resign. He chose to resign, and no investigation was conducted.
Now the fallout. The team's CEO announcing Stan Bowman out as general manager.
We and he ultimately accept that in his first year as general manager, he made a mistake alongside our other senior executives at the time and did not take adequate action in 2010.
In the weeks that leadership held on to the allegations, the investigation also uncovered Aldrich allegedly made an unwanted advance on a 22-year-old intern while participating in celebrations. Aldrich could not be reached for comment.
The report is both disturbing and difficult to read. It speaks for itself.
The law firm behind this report interviewed 139 witnesses, including Aldrich himself, who during these interviews said this sexual encounter was consensual. Meanwhile, the National Hockey League has now fined the Chicago Blackhawks $2 million. I'm Chris Hush.
Now, we will
and,
take
Mike, they're also Joe Quenneville, the current coach.
Yes, Joe Quenneville.
The Panthers, who, of course, was the head coach of the Blackhawks, but he's also being investigated individually by the NHL. So, stay tuned.
They've also thrown into the pot Kevin Cheveldayoff, who was the GM of the Winnipeg Jets. Now, here's something else they didn't tell you. Now, in 2010, you remember Chicago was just getting their thing on. The world discovered who Dustin Byfuglien was because, remember, Byfuglien was not only playing defense, he was a forward on those lines in the playoffs. I mean, he was scoring goals left and right. They couldn't do nothing with him. After Chicago wins the Cup in 2010, you remember early that season, Chicago had two black players on their roster. One was Dustin Byfuglien. The other was Akim Aliyu, who got sent to Calgary. And another string of sexual problems, situations, innuendos, and just basically cock-block politics was set in motion. Now, on top of all of this, this guy Aldrich also ended up getting sued by another kid while in college because he fucked him too. So the guy's a predator. They finally listed him as one, but, you know, they waited till he had a whole bunch of cocks on his belt, so to speak. And yeah, I love the nonsense when they tell you well, you know, the kids, the guy sexually molested me. I mean, you know, I did not agree to this. This was not consensual. And here's this fuck. Well, of course he sucked my dick. He loved it. You know, that's the kind of shit we're talking about here. And it doesn't get better. It simply gets worse.
The Toronto Maple Leafs continue their road trip tonight in Chicago, taking on a team that's facing intense backlash for their win-at-all-cost mentality, even if that meant covering up an alleged sexual assault that happened 11 years ago so that they, quote, wouldn't have any distractions in their quest for the Cup.
So yesterday, obviously, with the report coming out and first and foremost, I mean, that was tough to see what's in it. We know that, hey, that can't happen.
On Tuesday, the NHL fined the Blackhawks $2 million after reviewing a report of how the team delayed an investigation of an alleged sexual assault by former assistant coach Brett Aldridge towards a player. The report states that multiple members of the organization met and felt it wasn't the right time to discuss it, as it would be a distraction during their playoff run. These allegations were brought forward this past summer when a former player filed a lawsuit against the Blackhawks.
You know, we got addressed today. The team addressed us, and I think we can not move on from it, but learn from it and really come together as a team and make sure that doesn't happen again or as an organization.
No Blackhawks executives involved in the 2010 team that went on to win the Stanley Cup that season will be with the organization going forward. But two names brought up in the investigation are now with other teams, one of those being Jets GM Ken Sheveldayoff.
I think it's a question the Jets have to ask themselves, never mind the fact that there's a lot of people upset out there today, as we said, complicit in the culture of secrecy that surrounded this situation. A lot of people aren't happy about this. This has the potential to really change the way people view the Winnipeg Jets organization based on the decision they make surrounding his employment.
The other is Joel Quenneville, who is now the head coach of the Florida Panthers. He said this morning he's meeting with Bettman tomorrow.
Any problems you feel within the room? Do you feel like this could be a distraction, anything of that sort?
I think we tried to eliminate all distractions, and that was one of them.
Well, they've over and over again tried to sweep crises like this under the rug, treat them as one-off. If really pushed, singled out one or two perpetrators, hit them really, really hard, and get on with business as usual. And you know, Joel Quenneville's comment about it being distract from business as usual gives me that fear.
Aldridge is also accused of making unwanted sexual advances towards the Chicago Blackhawks intern just 1 month after the alleged sexual assault was brought to management's attention. For City News in Toronto, I'm Lindsay Dunn.
So, gentlemen, think about that. What is the difference between that and Harvey Weinstein doing his, you know, sleep with me or you'll never work in this town again?
Well, the thing I always, whenever something like this happens, I think what people fail to realize is that people will try to say that this happens in a vacuum. You know, I don't think I'm being negative or over demonstrative or overreacting when I say, if we, again, similar to the green thing, if you think that this is just restricted to the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, you're living in a fantasy world. I think that this is something. I think it's they're not the only team that's probably had this. Or, you know, we've heard of stuff over the years. And we got, we heard about stuff back in the day with the Toronto Maple Leafs and one of their trainers, if I remember correctly.
That's
and
right.
He was doing this, and he was doing this back when guys were in juniors.
That's right. And we got to figure that the junior hockey framework, the way it's set up, it's ripe with that. You know, it's no different than the Catholic Church and dirty priests and all of that shit, because you got these young kids, they're trying to realize their dreams playing hockey. We got D'Orlando Ledbetter in the mix. And in the midst of all of this, they know, well, if they manage to get to the next level, it may be with
as little damage done as possible depends on how they look to the fucking coaches. I mean, this is the video coach who said to this kid, you ain't going to play unless you suck my dick. And the kid, what the fuck does he know? He's up against it. He's in a control situation. This is what Akeem Aliyu said all together when that nonsense out of Calgary came out and the minor league affiliate to the team. This is systemic. This shit has been going on for a very long time, and we don't hear about it because hockey doesn't do scandals like football. You know, we like our perps black in football so they can really dig into their ass. You know, baseball, oh, you know, just chicks dig the long ball, fuck all that shit. And basketball, well, of course, you know, they're making money. Those Negroes, how dare they? Hockey's different. You know, its main base is across the border. It's not American. It's North American. And for Canadians, it is part of their culture, and it is ingrained in their culture. So we know, Canadians know that shit like this goes on all the fucking time. But it's a whole different story now when they have to bring this scandal out because I guarantee they've been burying this and trying to find a way to extricate themselves and smooth their way out of this for a long-ass time. Dal, well, I know you've heard some of this. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys, please.
Well, no, I was gonna say this is right up there with the gymnastics scandal. This is you know right up there with you know the Penn State. See again, you have to mm-hmm. with a consortium like this, there is always a code of silence. You know, even with this one guy, he had to have enablers. For something like this to be widespread, there has to be mm-hmm. a network of enablers. And
that's right.
What's always the one common thread in all of this is, well, you know, it's not a good time to bring this up now. It's not a good time to bring this up. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, again, the code, you know, the code of silence, the enablers, and you know, and the press.
That's
too,
right.
Because I'm sure,
yes.
I'm sure that there's folks within the North American, whether it be U.S. or Canada or abroad, that was
mm-hmm.
aware of them, and we know of stories like this that have been sat on for almost months, days, years before they strategically come out. You know, my thing has always been, it's not so much the story coming out, but when it comes out.
Exactly. Reggie, before you jump in, let me get Daryl here because I got to ask the question. You know, here's the kid saying, it was not consensual. I didn't want to suck his dick. And here's the other guy saying, oh, yes, it was consensual. He was loving sucking my dick. But as it all comes out, the guy's a predator, and they know it. And I don't mean just a casual day. We're talking about the general manager. We're talking about the head coach. So we know the president probably knew about it, too. And the people who left, like Shevel Dayoff, who went over to Winnipeg, they knew this guy. They knew what he was about, and they knew what he was doing. And then, as perverted as he is, he leaves the situation to go to a college where he's fucking an intern and also gangstering sex from a kid. So it's that same sick shit of, you know, you wouldn't do this to an adult. You don't have the heart to step to an adult, but you'll suck the dick of a kid and force him into some sort of fucked up situation. Dal, come on in here and throw something in the pot, please.
Well, good evening to the brothers.
Evening, bro.
I figure I'd join you guys for 15 minutes before I get out of here real quickly. And you already got my blood boiling, man. What the hell? there's a number of topics that we can digress over, but you hit it on the head when you said
hockey does not allow these scandals because they don't have anybody black to perp walk.
Yep.
So, and then we heard T mention the fact of how. So this story, let's get the story straight. This story is from 2010.
That's
right.
Right,
is when it allegedly took place. It is 2022, basically.
Yep.
All right, it's 2014 still in Ethiopia. Now, it is 4 years later in Ethiopia still, because their calendar is 2014. But however, they waited. And so I have to worry about the whistleblower. But like you said, as a parent, as an uncle, or as just black men, that we keep having these motherfucking predators go after our girls. But more importantly, we don't talk about the fact of how these fucking predators are going after our boys. And fucking our boys' life up, all right? And we've been silent. So if there's one thing about this generation that we have to give credit to, is if the shit ain't right with them, they're going to tell you, look, I don't feel fucking right. You know, I'm not mentally there, or this happened. Where we were raised, and this is unfortunate, you know, you're trying to get ahead. You just got on a championship hockey team in a city that's one of the original members of the NHL. And so who do you say? You know, and this kid is not necessarily – you know, from this area and region and all of that, but I'm getting tired, and it's not even shocking that this happens because look, they've told us all along. Hell, Caesar was fucking one of the senators in the ass, and Alexander the Great was, you know, married to a nice mulatto woman, but he couldn't stay off his fucking sergeant's ass, and vice versa. So I'm not shocked with that, but I am frustrated by the fact that this just continues to go on, and so it makes it makes raising kids difficult. And my daughter asked me yesterday, we were having this conversation. They found this 93-year-old Nazi woman, or 99, whatever she was, in a wheelchair that had committed these crimes, and they want to punish her, but the chick fled in a wheelchair trying to get away.
She had a 6G.
But we need to, I'm going to say this, not as I mean it, but I'm just going to say it and put it out there. So I'm sure one of the listeners will have a fucking issue. I don't fucking care.
Yep.
But it's going to be placed out there. We need to kind of, when we're going to go after situations rather than complaining, like do like the Hasidic people do, and just and the Yiddish motherfuckers, and just go after it. I don't give a fuck if you're 99 years old. Keep that motherfucker alive, goddamn Reggie, and let's put him out of his misery because you did this to us. That's how I feel about
what's
going on, you know? Like these fucking priests and all of this, burn the motherfuckers up. Burn them.
Fry them all. And Reggie, I know you heard all of this. Before you jump into Virginia, give me your vibe on this.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, Deacons for Defense of Justice. How in the ham sandwich can the NHL and their lack of money versus the NFL can fire a bunch of perverts and a bunch of elites on that hockey team, but yet the commissioner of the NFL can't touch Daniel Snyder? It's just amazing to me. All the sex scandals going on with the Washington football team. And, you know, the commissioner there is secret squirrel. He doing anything he can to try to quash shit. He's trying to do anything he can to make sure they honor the shield. But yet hockey, which does not have nowhere near the resources of the NFL, has took care of this and is buried in a blimp. Oh, by the way, with the World Series going on, who's talking about it? And this should be front page.
But again, that goes back to what we've been saying here. The timing. The timing more than anything else is doing, and who led it? Well, see, that's the thing, is that, you know, again, if you want to call us conspiracy theorists, go right ahead. But I can, you know, I feel like, you know, if you are actually following what the hell's going on, you realize that it's awfully interesting, the timing of this thing. It really is. I mean, you know, even you know, the whole thing with the Gruden thing and everything else. Because see, again, all these, you know, for you to be able to hold a story like this, for folks to be able to perpetuate something like this, there has to be some media folks that are in that are in somebody's pocket, for lack of a better
word. That's right. They're complicit with this shit. Remember, Eric Satterwhite used to talk about how the AAU's teams were like hotbeds of sexual abuse and shit because they're controlling the kids. Minor hockey is no fucking different. If you remember, a lot of shit came out from minor hockey. You know, Trevor Daley almost had his career ruined by John Van Beesbrook because when he was playing for the Sioux Greyhounds against the Guelph Griffins, Van Beesbrook got mad at Daley because they lost and called him a nigger. And called him a nigger, not just in front of his face, but away from him. His friends had to tell him what the coach had said before he got caught. And we actually wrote shit about that at Black Athlete, and he resigned or was forced to resign his position. All these motherfuckers are covering each other's ass. Shovel Dayoff should not have gotten a job in Winnipeg because of what was done to this kid. You know, Bowman should have left his job a lot earlier, and worse than that, the commissioner should have had all their melanin challenge answers, and nobody said a fucking thing. And when Aliyu talked about what happened to him in Calgary and how he got his career fucked because he wouldn't play along, all of a sudden everybody's so shocked and whatnot, and they're mad at the brother. But the bottom line was, they created this fucking atmosphere.
Yeah.
I got one thing though for T and for all of the brothers. It's not a conspiracy theory because it's no conspiracy. See, we talk to some people that are conscious, but let's not get it twisted. The percentage of black folks are fucking stupid right now because everything that we see, you know, you don't have to rub your eyes twice, and it's kind of like I'm gonna take it down to D.C. close to you, Reg, with Teddy Carpenter. I've seen this motherfucking shit before. I've seen this before. It's like the Jetsons. Everything that we saw on the Jetsons when we were young kids, right? We just saw last year. You can talk to your doctor, teleconference. I can call you on my iPhone watch right now. We can all video and put this show on a Zoom call. I'm not going to promote any companies, but we can promote on a video conference and everything else. It's not a conspiracy.
None of them.
I got you, Fred. I got you. But I mean, it's not a conspiracy. If we really look at it and the timing. Sure, you put it out at the start of the NBA season. You put it out with the World Series and what's going on. They put it out after John Gruden's thing. So this was the apropos time to release this information because they can get buried. It can get buried. The government does it all the time, bury information and put it out there. We didn't find out shit that happened last year because we were so busy worried about that fucking – you know, which one of these two fucking presidential candidates would want to fucking hit cardiac button first? The orangutan or old Joe? We didn't learn anything about the news. And meanwhile, China's fucking growing up. Shit's going crazy overseas. Israel is dealing more guns. China's all in Africa. It's shit going on. They found fucking so much oil in fucking Haiti there. We're not talking about it. They're bringing fucking 95,000 fucking Afghanistans here to make them the new niggas, giving them housing out west, and we don't say anything. Right. And the fucking Haitians who flew to Brazil, gave up everything and walked from fucking Brazil to North American borders are getting beat with fucking hoses, I mean, whipped on horses and getting put on airplanes in shackles in 2021. But they got us so diverted and the shit to Ben Simmons. Fuck Ben Simmons. Fuck all of this stuff, bro.
Exactly.
Like, we
exactly.
really, really need to pay attention to what's happening in the world. Like, there is a major shift as to what's happening. You got ships in the oceans that have nowhere to dock in the port. No, there's fucking thousands of ships. And that's how the world rotates. All of a sudden, your gas prices are going up. Why? Because the ships won't dock. All these people looking for jobs, want to get bills paid, they can put them on the docks and make them fucking work if you really want to get the ship
sure
service.
Could. That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Say that, D. You know, but these are the type of things that they won't tell you. And that's why we're bringing this up to tell you this. And I want you to pay attention to those last three reports on that same story. There wasn't anything in any of those reports that said these big dastardly motherfuckers need to fry for what they did. Oh, they stated fact, but every atmosphere around each one of those was smacking a cover your ass. There was nothing saying, you know, there's going to be repercussions for this. Yeah, somebody lost their job. No, they didn't lose their job. They were asked to resign. Asked. This shit happened in 2010. We're 11 years down the road. And, oh, well, you know, by the way, Mr. Bowman, shit's getting hot, so we think you better get the fuck out. We will allow you to say that you're going to resign from your situation. And that's exactly how they do this. That's what they did in the junior hockey scandals elsewhere.
Oh, Mike. It's like the Catholic Church.
Yes.
They move them from one church to another. It's just
like the
police. They'll guy shoots a guy here, they'll move him to another precinct so he can shoot more people and what have you. They don't solve it. It's never about solving the problem. It's what you can see again. It's too inconvenient to bring up this at this time right now. You know, it would start a firestorm or
no question.
Or what have you, you know.
Now imagine if you would a pee wee league where kids were getting butt fucked by some fucking coach who had a lot of influence. Well, we see it in basketball with the AAU. We've seen that for the longest time. But if you can imagine a black-run league like that or in a black-dominated sport like that and the world
You're talking about Penn State? Mike, you talking about Penn State?
Hell yeah.
I could have sworn you're talking about Penn State.
You know it's about Penn State because that's exactly the same formula they had. And the gymnastics
thing with the U.S. women?
The scandal as well. That's right. Listen, they made more fuss when Tiger Woods' wife went to beat him upside his head for fucking around. And they made more of a pride out of him there than anything they said about Paterno or Sandusky or anybody else. And we spent 5 years covering these motherfuckers and talking all the stuff about what they had done. And did we hear any kind of reciprocal blow from anywhere else? No. Because Stephen A. Smith.
Mike, look.
Yes.
You got Bill Cosby. We were all talking about Cosby and how he's guilty. He got the Supreme Court threw it out. Threw it out. Nobody's talking about
that. They threw it out. Nobody.
The fact that man got put in jail. Yeah. No, the Supreme Court threw it out. You know.
Yeah.
Everybody mad at old Camille's going to do this and that. No, he should have never been tried. He should have never gone to jail. Now, do we have a problem with Bill in our community? Yeah, we have a problem. But look, if he want to fuck Kenny G looking white women, then let him go ahead and fuck Kenny G looking white women. You know, we're so enraged and we don't pay attention to what's happening. I mean, it's like playing with a cat in a room. You got a ball of yarn and you throw it across the room and the cat goes. Meanwhile, you're doing every other thing. You know, it's like a fucking Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Bill Cosby, Tom and Jerry cartoon.
You get a steak to spike so you can go in the house and steal everything out of the
house.
Bill Cosby's biggest crime. Bill Cosby's biggest crime is that he's got no fucking taste in women. But I digress.
Right. Exactly.
Well, no, Bill Cosby's biggest crime was that he didn't die while he was in jail. Because that's what
his biggest crime was not about NBC. That was his biggest crime.
Well, yeah, I'll take that too. But having said all this shit, look at the atmosphere in which this is all in. Hockey was actually making inroads with what they have been able to do during the COVID situation. They seem to be going forward. And now they got all this other shit going on because somebody said, fuck my dick. That's where this shit begins. That's where it ends. And it was somebody who had control over someone else's life. And that was not just, it was exposed in Chicago, but it's been going on throughout the juniors for a very, very long time. Somebody just got caught. You got the professor in the house as well. Professor, good evening. What's your take on all this?
I don't know nothing about hockey.
we have a team 60 miles away. Matter of fact, we actually have a minor league hockey team here. I don't even remember what their name is. But anyway, but speaking of the subject in general, we have a society that is too heavily based on nobody came to tell me. Forget that I can read, but I don't.
Yes.
I would rather be about who's screwing who on scandal than know what's going on with the kids in my school. I would rather go to a school board to raise hell about stupidity, like a subject that's taught at the collegiate level in law school, that your child is a subject that you have to worry about teachers teaching because for the most part don't know nothing about it. But I digress. Because we have this kind of mentality, we have people out there going ape shit over stuff that ain't got nothing to do with them, or they ain't got nothing to do with. And stuff that they should be concerned about, you know, they just finally, you know, of all this COVID stuff, do you realize they, you know, in my area / on NBC News, they just brought up something over this past weekend about the nasty water all over, well, really almost all over Michigan now, especially the major cities. Where do you go get water when you can't leave your house? Because you're put on house arrest.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Benton Harbor was the town. Flint where the water's gotten bad.
That's the latest one. But you know the thing you got to remember. It's just like it is here. We have one major river. It's called the Cape Fear River. It flows from way up in the mountains to the coast and empties out in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
You have about three or four rivers that, like the Neuse, actually goes above it. The Little River goes into it just down about 7 or 8 miles from where I live. When we have storms here, all the rivers below the banks, but let it rain.
Yeah.
Here comes the river overflowing all the way by where the Lumbee Indians are in Lumberton.
Yeah.
Their river flows into the Cape Fear eventually. Their river is about 7 or 8 feet below the bank. Let it run. We're not talking about a hurricane or nothing like that. Let it rain.
Right.
Here comes the water all over the place. And see, nothing has been done about it. And they're talking about they don't want to spend money on giving them their national status, the Lumbee right. Indian.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're spending more money, in some cases, on stuff that's irrelevant to them, that than they would be spending on them if they got their status. And
right.
here we go again with whoever you want to name in the White House. And it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's just a political thing.
Yep.
And I think I heard Reggie, so I'm going to tell him about his liberal Democrats again. Have you heard anything from one Mr. Biden about any of this stuff? No. He's so worried about his package getting passed, but guess who's holding it up? It ain't the Republicans. It's the Democrats. And
yep.
see, we get it really twisted because we trust them and we don't hold their feet to the fire.
Right.
We go along to get along with them, and then turn around and what's that saying in literature? You know, curse in the wind.
Yep.
It ain't the wind you got to worry about. It's the fire that these people keep letting burn, and we keep letting them burn us. And at the end of the day, what you got?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
what you know. To go back to where we were.
DC guys are alive and well again. Man is under my button.
Gary, as one who lives in Dixie, it ain't changed. It's the same, you know. Okay, we've talked about racing here, right? Secretary is still running the race, and is still getting further and further out front from other three or four horses that are still trying to get out of the gate. Secretary is long gone, and it's the same kind of thing. No matter how you look at it, it's still the same thing. You get hit by a car. Does it matter who's driving it? Really? No. What really matters? You have a situation here that we have been hoodwinked and all the other, what's the other word? Bamboozled.
Run amok.
Another
string.
And they're still running amok because as a race of folks, we don't hold their feet to the fire.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And having said that, we have to understand that while this thing is going on, as long as it's going on in hockey, we know they're controlling the spin. Now, we know what happened when Michael Vick got busted. He hurt Lassie, killed his black ass, and they never let up. The guy did hard fucking time, federal time, for fucking with Lassie. Now, this whole thing with these kids getting fucked in this minor hockey system, this isn't just one incident here. This really is, as Tony said, like the Catholic Church. There have been instances of this across North America. And kids risk their situations with the hope of being stars, and they put them in the hands of predatory motherfuckers who say what they're saying is no different than Weinstein saying what he said to the starlet on the casting couch. Suck my dick, give me some pussy, or you don't work.
He who has the gold rule. If you got the money in the gold rule, which brings me to what's happening in Virginia. As I told you before, Democrats dropped the ball when they went after Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. Now, Professor Knott talked about this, and Terry McAuliffe is not well-liked at all, the Clinton wannabe. And the sad thing about it, the race right now by the Doug Wilder I said, damn, Doug Wilder got his own accounting firm. The Doug Wilder poll shows that it's a 3-point differential, which Professor Tay is right in the middle of error. Matter of fact, the independents of Fabian Youngkin, the Republican, 34% to 31%. But the sad thing about it, what's happening in Virginia, the Democratic Party went after a strong black man who stood up against the white supremacists and racists when it came to those statues and not saluting Confederate soldiers. You had Terry McCullough and his henchmen go in there and run two unqualified women. I'm just going to call it like it is. You had two unqualified women who had lower seat positions. One was a senator, a legislator. The other one was a delegate. But they did not have the experience. But what they did was they made sure they took enough votes away that Lieutenant Governor didn't have a shot when running against Terry McCullough. Oh, but it gets better than that. It really gets better than that. Mm-hmm. Mayor LeVar Stoney, remember that name? He was a Negro that took all those statues down on Monument Avenue. Matter of fact, he said on the Gary Flowers show, and matter of fact, Professor, you had a young man from Fayetteville call in and give you a lot of love about your books and everything you did. I think he was one of your projects that you wrote about. I don't know the young man's name, but he went to Fayetteville State. I'm going to find out who he is because he really talked 5 minutes about the great work you did. So I just thought I'd throw that in. But the situation that we see now, that LeVar Stoney and his aides was the one when a certain governor did the blackface and his wife did the Klan outfit. You ain't forgot that one, I know. I mean, hey, they just showed this up. And by the way, the governor of Virginia, his so-called nickname was blackface. Matter of fact, it was kind of interesting that he had that nickname. And also Coon Man. Imagine that, a white boy saying he's Coon Man. But again, this is the state of Virginia. I digress. Getting back to further, so I'm going to wrap this up real quick. LeVar Stoney, his aide, when this went down where Governor of Virginia getting ready to resign and put Lieutenant Governor Fairfax in, Democrats and Republicans got together and said, ain't no fucking way, excuse my phrase, that we got a nigga that's going to be a governor and got a shot to have it back to back. That is not happening. And this is with the help of the Congressional Black Caucus and also the NAACP, that they join in on this fight to go after Justin Fairfax as well as Gayle King. Just not forget that one. And neither one of the two women that supposedly got the sexual abuse charge from him never brought any criminal charges, not one. So to wrap it up real quick, the reason why we have Youngkin was to go ahead and do a bullhorn, not dolphins, but a bullhorn of white supremacy and racism, because the Democratic Party has fucked over black folks for the last 20 years in Virginia. Now the roots are coming back, the hens come back to roost. That's the short and skinny of it, what's happening in Virginia.
And Virginia is basically being the test driving of how the Republicans are going to run. Because the other day I was really being sarcastic, but I was also bored and depressed.
How you liberals doing up there in Virginia?
I said how you liberals keep on playing checkers while the other ones are playing chess.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, that's how it's going. And you know, the truly sad part about it is we have gotten racially, we have gotten so entrenched in the Democratic. It's not that we got that way. I understand how things got that way. The problem is we have not learned how to play the game so that we get enough people to show up at Republican events. They cut that bull crap out. The Democrats need
it. That's the problem. And real quick, Winston Sears, who I know personally, for full disclosure, I interviewed her back in the day. This is a young lady running for lieutenant governor on the Republican side, and she's a former Marine, governor. But the sad thing about it, when they had a couple of blacks on the Democrat side I'm running for Lieutenant Governor back in the day, and also Attorney General, one being Congressman Donald McEachin. They did not even have his face on the post on the Democrat side, as well as Justin Fairfax. The Republicans learned from that, and the first thing they did when they came to that candidates, they made sure Winston Sears was on all of those pictures with the three candidates. That was done by the Democrats, and this is what the Democrats did.
Reggie, how do you think this clown that we got as a lieutenant governor in North Carolina who doesn't believe in who does not believe in systemic racism?
Yeah.
I'll admit I'm fat and overweight, so is he. But
join the club.
I resemble that remark.
Hey, just be glad you don't resemble him, because he's in hot water now because of some statements he made about 2 or 3 months ago at a speech. He was speaking at this church, and it's this white-based church. Evangelist. He's on the evangelistic thing, and he goes out and he was talking about gays and some other stuff, and you know, here he's promoting going against this whole thing about history. He's promoting going against certain books, and the books he's talking about, you know, no 12-year-old. Well, at a middle, these are books that they shouldn't even be buying for a middle school. But at the same time, you got Shakespeare and all that other bull crap in middle school. So what's the big deal? And as I tell everybody, you know, you these people are so hell bent against socialism and all this kind of stuff. I said, so what you gonna do? Throw the Bible out? Oh no! I still maintain the Bible is the most socialistic. Was one of the most socialistic books there is that's ever been written. I believe in it, but at the same time. Well, how can you say stuff like that? I said, after the Sermon on the Mount, when his boy, when Jesus' boy said, "Master, the people are hungry, let's send them away," he didn't say send them away. He said feed them. So I said, now, you don't, I'm sorry. That's how I interpret it. He said feed them. And he also said, you know, you never withhold good from someone when it's within your power to help them. So what do you do when you've got a situation where you got people who need to be fed, people who need housing, people who need clothing, people who need heat, people who need education?
Professor, you hit it on the head because you said the key words, subject to interpretation. And Tony brought this up before. The fact that the National Hockey League allowed this to fester for 10 fucking years is the beginning and the ending of this. 2010, Blackhawks win the title. 2010, Dustin Byfuglien rocks Chris Pronger's world. There's a new cop on the block. Blackhawks win. Dustin Byfuglien gets a huge contract, 6 years, $42 million. And the first thing they said, like in any other sport, you paying that nigga too much money. But I digress. Now, the other black player, Akemi Liu, moves to the Calgary Flames. He plays maybe one or two games with the big club, but for the most part, he's down in the minors, where their coach is busted for politics and predatorial shit, too. So now, what was that thing that Tom Jackson used to say? It happens two is a coincidence, three times is worse. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. We got you three times. The three times would be peeling over to Winnipeg, where Cheryl Dayoff was the general manager. And, of course, among his players was Dustin Byfuglien. Now, not that Big Buff would do something like that or anybody would step to him. I knew he fucked him up. But this sexual scandal has carried over a decade. They say they got a law firm to investigate. Look how long it took to fucking investigate. 10 years? I mean, we could find out twice as much stuff in half the time. This was done because every time somebody got to a rocky spot, they said, can we smooth over this? Okay. And since we could, we moved on. And as we did, they moved on. That guy Eldridge got to fuck other people who were not of consent age. And it took them years to finally say he's a predator and he should be treated as such. So as all this is going on, hockey is doing shit in the quiet. And they're not doing themselves any fucking favors. But because it's a majority white sport, nobody says shit. You know, forget about that black kid down there. Ain't nobody going to listen to him. And when he did come out and they did listen, it was like, oh, we've made such an error in judgment, blah, blah, blah. Get the fuck out of here. They were covering for their ass. And now this, in spite of a $2 million fine, that's nothing. Whoever the John Doe is who was sucking that dick, if he decides to go and have a press conference and say who I was, shit will hit the fan because this is not happening in a vacuum. This shit has been going on every fucking place. And all of the stations are doing the same thing and trying to put a spin on it so that nobody will think that it's systemic.
A City of Two investigation. Three men who never knew each other as kids are suddenly connected by the same claim that the youth hockey coach they loved and trusted betrayed them, groomed them for sexual abuse. Tonight, they tell their stories for the first time on camera. The CBS2 investigator, Dave Savine.
I remember being so scared, and I wanted out. Your feet were, like, tied to the bed.
The leather belt on the ankles and stuff like that got tighter and tighter. And he takes me up, and he blindfolds me.
Do you remember the blindfold?
Yeah.
Was it
pillowcase?
Over your head?
Over your head.
On the ice, they had it all. In the 80s and 90s, they were some of the most talented hockey players in Illinois. Mike Sachs, a Mount Carmel High School standout, was even offered a full ride to one of the elite hockey programs in the country at the University of Minnesota.
Gopher Hockey is pride on ice.
This was all you wanted and all that you worked for.
And then it was one day it was all just gone.
Sachs, Chris Jensen, and Kelly G played on different teams and didn't know each other, but they say they all shared the same secret. Off the ice, their hockey coach, Tom Chico Adratis, groomed them to sexually abuse them.
You believe that he targeted you? Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Adratis, seen here, last coached at Robert Morris University.
Here with Coach Adratis in his fabulous office.
He resigned in 2018 after abuse allegations came out, stemming mainly from boys he coached decades earlier at youth programs throughout Illinois.
When you hear his name, Tom Chico Adratis,
yeah,
what do you feel?
Sad, angry.
They say he followed the same playbook with each of them.
That house over your shoulder is the house where your abuse happened.
Yes, that room right there.
Inviting players to his house in Lisle to talk about their future, eventually showing them pornography, prostitutes, and strippers.
From there, he takes you downtown Chicago and drive you around and show you all the hookers and talk about sex. And he starts desensitizing you to all of this stuff.
You're a minor at this point.
I'm a minor. I'm 16 years old.
Then came the story of a mystery woman he called Sheila.
His M.O. was he had this woman, and her name was Sheila.
Yes, he named her Sheila. That was the name he used.
So did he introduce you to the concept of Sheila?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
But the coach had rules. They were not allowed to touch Sheila or see her face.
Hey, she really likes to please men, but only under these conditions.
Each teen blindfolded in pitch black rooms, but over time, the Sheila story didn't add up.
I felt like it was a man disguising their voice as a woman's.
They believe Sheila was Coach Adratis.
How many times did you say this happened?
Oh, too many.
G says a dozen times, Sachs even more.
Both think the coach eventually started recruiting others to play the role of Sheila.
You think he might have been bringing other people in?
I think there's, yes, yeah. You could tell if somebody's hand is different or something. It was, I believe, yes.
You guys get the idea. Now, having heard all of this, again, it's the minors, but they're connected to the majors, and they made sure that all the gatekeepers submerged this. There were no whistleblowers, so everybody kept their word about this and not saying anything to the detriment of the young men affected by it, some who won't play professional hockey, but the point is they were victims of abuse, and we didn't hear the CBC or any other major station talk about it.
I got a question, Mike. It's just amazing to me how Europeans can do January 6th, be traitors, terrorize the country, do sexual acts in sports, be it gymnastics or hockey, or God forbid, you know, football or baseball, anything like that. But it seems like society, and I say he who has the gold rule, the media is quiet. Look at what Stephen A. Smith, when Joe Paterno's son came on ESPN, and he didn't say a freaking thing to him. Was quiet as a church mouse. Look it up on YouTube, right there. But that
nigga wasn't going to say anything. Little insignificant piece of shit. He knew what his role was.
But here's my thing is though. Now you got Dusty Baker slammed into the role of manager with one of the business organizations next to the Chicago Black Sox scandal. And now everybody's like, well, you know, it's nice Dusty's there, but he has not won a World Series title. Yeah, he did, 1981 as a Dodger. As a manager, no, but as a player, he did. This is kind of bullshit. And, oh, by the way, when I hear Negroes on the local radio station make the comment and say, it's really a shame the Atlanta Braves didn't get the All-Star game. Why in the fuck you think they didn't get the All-Star game? It was the reason why it was taken from them. But then again, Europeans can get away with shit. It's just amazing. Maybe I'm missing something.
That's right. Well, it's, you know what? Boo-Boo knows more than most because he sees this shit all the time. And sometimes he doesn't say a word because everybody else has said it for him. And that's what we're looking at here. The fact that this infrastructure of hockey has known about this. You know, this ain't the first time. And it's not going to be the last time. It's going to be connected with the degree of difficulty it is to stop the story from spreading in a negative manner. Hockey has tried to put the brakes on this all the time. And they're not going to stop. It's going to continue. You know, we've seen this before, and we'll see it again. It's just that now it's so messed up they can't suppress it anymore. So as more of this shit leaked out, we're going to see more sidebars regarding stories. And Tony, I think the worst of it is everybody's going to pretend like they're so shocked by all this. They know this shit has been happening all along.
That's what bothers them here, because whenever stories like these hit, the first thing I think of is always, well, we found out, now we know more. But I always akin it to when certain cities have like a big drug bust, and they always make it a point to, you know, to congratulate the officers and all the people who are part of the quote unquote task force, because they got X amount of millions or thousands of dollars of drugs off the street. Meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Big are still doing their thing. You know, they may get a couple of the underlings, but the other guys who are really the kingpins or queenpins in this always walk away clean.
And always will. Gary, now we've been doing hockey for a long time. I know you're not surprised by this, but are you disappointed that with all the effort that hockey made to try to make inroads through this COVID shit, that they would be hit in the face with this?
Well, I'm very disappointed in the Toronto Maple Leafs. I thought they would be outstanding, outstanding organization, and now hearing this, I am very, very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But not very, very surprised, though, right there? But not very,
I'm
very
not surprised.
Surprised
at all.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And see that, and then see, therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem.
Well, see, again, it's leadership.
Or a lack thereof. Or a lack thereof.
Yeah.
In this case, there is actually leadership. It's just bad leadership. Because,
absolutely.
You know, because, see, again, I don't watch women's hockey that much. You know, if I can find my remote, I usually turn when it comes on. But, you know, we just had a situation here, well, in Raleigh, and let me get the geography straight. In Raleigh, North Carolina, the women's hockey coach I think they call it the Courage, got fired. It's been about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because he not only had been accused, I mean, this man had a record that everybody seems to have forgotten. Although
mm-hmm.
I think one of the situations, he was either there was no charge or whatever the case may have been, and but you know, to say the least, ain't no way he should have had a job.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like baseball punishing people for whatever.
Yeah.
Then they still say, well, you know, he goes better. Well, who don't bet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who with money don't bet? You know, because see, one of the things I've always looked at is we hear them talking about these young men and young ladies who, well, mostly young men who get these mega million contracts and stuff, and how they, you know, case in point. Michael Jordan bet $30,000 on a jump shot. Okay? Now, if that ain't betting on basketball, what is?
Yep. That's right.
And they're trying to pump him up as the greatest of all time. I say, okay, based on, you know, I mean, you all know personally, I don't even get into those kind of discussions. Because, you know, if you're talking about, you know, because to me, if you're talking about the best basketball player of all time, where's his college? You know,
mm-hmm.
he was okay in high school. He was better than, I'd say, even better than okay in high school.
Yep.
Well, you know, not only did you know, he had, what, 2 years of college?
Yeah.
And he was okay in college.
Yeah.
But then... But Kareem had, what, three national championships?
Three national and a national championship in high school.
And you know what? I'm going to say four because, remember, their freshman team beat the varsity.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yep. That's right. We got Patrick Farrar in the house as well. Patrick, can you hear us? Patrick, can you hear us?
I think you. Yeah, and he must have that Baker Mayfield phone. Hey, Baker Mayfield, answer the phone. Tell him with your other arm, not the broken one, the other arm.
It don't matter.
Oh, I Professor Mike Tomlin going to USC. Dumbass question. Unreal.
You gotta use the back phone to see if we can get Patrick in here. Patrick, hang up. I'm calling you now.
I tell you.
How did the Buckeyes do this year?
This week?
Oh, shit that he ain't even here to defend himself yet.
Hey, are we talking financial or are we talking just in the standings? Financial, they're doing great.
Okay, good.
Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Live radio.
One ringy. Two dingy ringies.
You got call ID, Mike. You don't recognize your number.
Oh, is that Patrick? I thought we had him. Where'd you go? Patrick, you out. Man, I tell you, it's so hard to get good help nowadays. Where the hell is he?
The views expressed on this
right.
show are not necessarily...
Hello.
Hello.
There
he is.
Hello. Patrick, is that you?
Live in Mayfield.
Live and living color.
There
what's
we go.
Up,
okay.
There he is.
Good lord.
And put Odell Beckham up there while you're at it. Is he home with you, too?
I'll take him.
Leave that man alone. Leave,
you got some, leave him alone. He ain't bothering nobody. You know, he ain't acting out, he ain't acting crazy, you know. He doing just, all right. Brother just can't get on the football field. That's why he can't get on the field.
Okay, so
no,
what
he
did you
do on the field with Sonny? Because he got whacked one time.
He sure did. He sure did. You know, and we got something to deal with on Sunday with Pittsburgh. You know, that's for sure. And speaking of Pittsburgh, have y'all talked about Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, you talking about tracking the USC job? Not. Dumbass reporters.
Let me tell you something, man, about that. It was Michael Smith, who used to be on ESPN,
on.
Who put it perfectly. And when he said that the problem is that the attack on all the accusations of Mike Tomlin going to USC is a what we call cultural capital, and what it means is the cultural capital is we use him as the black candidate to put his name out there, which was as a camouflage for who they really want.
Sure,
right.
They ain't no brother.
Well, white boy, they want
not.
This time. Who they want? Pete Carroll? Pete Carroll will be looking for a job at the end of the year.
well, he ain't going to USC. But the accusation behind that, you know, and I'm going to put it best. You go what? Go back to college and do what? You know,
thank you.
It was an insult to the highest degree, but it also goes to show that and we like Mike and I have seen the press box. There's some white boys. I don't know how they got their damn job. You know,
tell me
I know you have to ask questions, but you know, all the years I've been around press boxes, pro press boxes, sometimes you know if you ain't got the same, don't. You know, pick out from what you've acquired from listening to other people and what you know about the game and fill it in.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. It's better to say nothing.
How long you been a black quarterback? That's the kind of mentality some of these crackers got. I hate to say it. The quote Charlamagne the God.
That's what it is.
You know, putting those jars in crackers. Number Crackerville. I hate to put it that way. These crackers act this way.
It's better to say nothing than let people think that you that you're crazy.
Yeah,
you
open your mouth and leave no doubt.
Yep. Rich saltine crackers.
I seen a bunch of, and particularly here in the Jersey, New York, because they think because in Jersey, New York, we have it's the biggest market, and they have the highest level of understanding the game. No, you don't. No, you don't.
The most sophisticated
don't.
Sports, the most sophisticated sports fans in America.
And between that and a whole lot of individuals who don't in the press box. I'm going, these broads ain't playing. They know more about the game than you know. We used to get more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They have to. They have to know just to be halfway there.
I mean, but that was a throwback, though, of just outright
you know, idiocy, man.
It's a slow, you know, quote unquote slow news day, so to speak. Let's throw something on the wall and see if it sticks.
Patrick, explain something to me,
how in the ham sandwich can the hockey go in and take care of these sexual perverts, but yet the Washington football team and the NFL are terrified of what's going on with Daniel Snyder?
I'm going to tell you something. I've said this for years. Even when I had hair, I said this. I've seen these white boys come for hockey in ways that you can't possibly leave. I know personally, when I was with the Nets, because, you know, the Nets were in the same, share the same building with the Devils. And then things I heard about hockey players, well, wait a minute, how come anybody put that out? I'm not gonna pull out names and like that year's coming. It'll come out, ain't gonna come up for me. But
Patrick, let Evander Kane's wife even just say abuse, and all of a sudden,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. I ain't one to gossip, but she ain't here for me.
And Mike does not repeat gossip. You have to hear that shit right the first time.
Your point about Washington is correct. When Goodell says, you know, we're not going to unleash the information out because it's private. And somebody asked him, he says, Daniel, who's come his wife? Snyder's wife is running. That means he's running. So she goes to him, sitting next to him, and what they going to talk about? The Baltimore Ravens? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns? Who is she going to talk about? He told her just what to do. So what are you talking about? And these congressional hearings is getting a little hotter and hotter. Because you mean to tell me you're going to hide, wait a minute, we can open up everything about what's going on in January 6th, which is obvious, but you can about some emails about some, wait, like I told you, the bomb is Gruden, the explosion is emails, and nuclear is them Texas. And that's Texas
right.
will kill them, and they know.
That's right.
And everything's bigger in Texas.
Including the our houses.
Let's remember this. First, to cover Reggie's point there, you know, the rumor that Elon Musk may come in and buy the Washington team is one thing. Let's remember how much money we're talking about.
I thought it was Jeff Bezos that's buying them. I got my millionaires mixed up here.
Forgive me, it's Bezos. $1 sign.
All we know is billionaires anyway, with money. That's all we know.
Really.
So Bezos is in position to buy the Washington team. Daniel Snyder bought it for $800,000, and everybody at the beginning thought he was crazy.
It's a million, Mike.
Now the Washington Football Club is worth over $5 billion. He's made a 400% increase on his original investment. So
remember, Mike, they still have a name change that they have to deal with.
That's
going to make them goo-gobs of money. I personally know people who have bought Washington paraphernalia since they quote cannot wear their Redskins stuff. But because locally we call them Douglas Byrd High School. Because we have a local high school with the same
color scheme.
It's down to the lettering. These people are already committed to when they when this is settled and they get a new name, they're going to go head to toe. And one of them said, I hope it's doing the wintertime so I can get me a jacket. And, you know, you're talking about $300 for a jacket. Schneider's going to make an asshole full of money or whoever owns Washington.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they've switched that high school to the actual team and the actual Washington football team was playing at that high school?
I'm not going to miss it at high school because I got a bunch of relatives who, as a matter of fact, I got relatives who were there in their first class 40, whatever it was, years ago, almost 50 years ago. In the first class, their first graduating class. But the deal is, you know, the school board basically stripped them of a lot of their talent pool. So they've been struggling, especially in football as of late. Other sports are doing okay, but football, you know, they're struggling.
And along the line of what Fred is saying, Fantastics, you know, who has the largest deal of merchandising of any distributor of paraphernalia, they just wait for the name.
They're waiting. I mean, you can't put it this way. You can't go on like Facebook or any of these other places without seeing at least a bunch of Cleveland Indian stuff. Washington Redskins stuff. It's all over. And when the actual name change does finally drop, they're gonna all of a sudden,
the licensing deal for the Washington team is gonna be almost as much as the value of what it's gonna cost to buy them.
That's a paycheck for everybody in the league now. At the end of the year, NFL players and NBA players get another check for merchandise sold. Everybody gets a check. It could be went from $80,000 to $125,000. Everybody gets a check. So. They can wait, and particularly after the what's his name? Major League Baseball commissioner says that they're still dealing with the Chop and the Braves name. They go change the answer. Oh, really?
You mean Martin Luther? You mean Martin Luther Manfred?
Shucks. Oh, please. Well, speaking of journalistic integrity. Which we have a high level of understanding here.
Ooh, what did you say?
The one that topped the week for me without question. I told Mike when I heard it, I'm going, that's strange. But then after I did some research and went to sites and talked to some people, one my nephew. Because he lives in the state of Louisiana, and he ain't one spread. He told me, "Unc, you know that? I thought you reported." Ed Ogeron, LSU. All of a sudden, he got to let go. I'm going, wait a minute, that guy just won a master chair, but you're going to have to go, why are we letting him go? You know, look here. The guy's been around for 23 years, but you know something? Here's what we got to know. Think about this. All right, Tony, you are Ed Ogeron and the coach of LSU, right?
Mm-hmm.
You win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
You lose weight, you know, get yourself in shape, turn up your shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He still doesn't have a neck, but continue. That's true. He divorced his wife after 23 years, right? At doing that championship.
Mm-hmm.
It gets better. What happened?
That sounds
was,
like personal foul to me.
What happened was he goes on a rant and starts running across the campus, you know, giving Google eyes to some of the girls. But
no.
They're cool about it. Well, oh, okay, it's better than that. Then
like
he starts
young girls on the weakness.
then he starts, you know, seeing some, you know, more mature girl woman at his age. But the coup de grace is, how you gonna be hitting on the honeys that you're hitting on, and on the Saturday and Friday practice, let their kids come to your practice and watch them practice?
Oh,
and everybody knows about it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And the sports writers, they had no one watching it and ain't saying nothing. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. Tony, you coach LSU and you're blacker than I am. What you think if you'd have brought somebody who you thought was your girlfriend's kid on the field?
Mr. McLean, can I have a few words with you for just a minute?
Come on. That's pimping since Ben Pimpin since Ben Pimpin.
So his new name is now called Bayou Elvis. You know? So
thank you very much.
Patrick, basically the only thing missing is apparently is a motorcycle and a helmet that has University of Louisville on it.
But guys, here's the best part of it. They said, they said, guys, you know, they said, wait a minute, you know. And then he gets in trouble saying, you know, he didn't support BLM, which a lot of people got pissed off at. So how you gonna not support BLM when everybody on the team was black, even the water boy? You know, that caught hell for that. But the bottom line is this: they got tired of it. It was becoming too costly, and it was becoming too exposed. So all of a sudden, he decides, "Well, I'm going." They got to leave. He says he left. It was mutual separation. He goes away with $16 million.
Oh,
That's no different than a golden parachute.
Yeah, well, that's because he ain't walking, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to walk in with all that money you have to carry. Shit.
Our brother could never get away with that. Never.
Absolutely
no way.
Not.
With liberty and justice for all? Oh, heck no.
It's gonna be more like David Justice and Mel Hall for all, more than anything else.
Oh, hell yeah. If a brother tried that, as soon as you hear boom and chicken wow wow, the man is on his chair. There's no fucking way.
Mike, let me pull out my. But go ahead. Finally got it right.
Okay.
I'm
getting slow on the uptake here. But yeah,
it's either that or Blog Talk's got one terrible 2 seconds or 5 second delay. That's all I can say.
They do, but I digress. But you know, if I can momentarily revert back to where we started with this thing with these hockey motherfuckers, there's no way a scandal like that would take 10 years to formulate.
Thank you, Rep.
10 minutes, possibly.
Make as much suppression in order for the thing to manifest itself 10 years, like athletes going viral and shit. No way does something like that get buried. And let's remember, the sport leagues now, you don't really have as many sports writers as you do people who will speak on behalf of who eventually are doing PR for the teams in the league, you know? I mean, where do you see any real journalists anymore? You know, damn sure ain't Stephen A. Smith. You know, there's a handful of cats who still do journalism, but they're not among the ones who sit at the table or who continue to sit at the table because they'll do as the masters command them to do. Hockey is just like this. Somebody could have said something a long time ago, and they would have said, no, we're not going to let this out. Yes, Professor.
Like what I tell you about the Devils, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that people kill me about. They saw all the by the club. or what? At a mm-hmm. club, or they saw LeBron James at a strip club. What? And you got guys that is assault guys sexually, and you ain't said nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Better not say nothing.
They will cover up a hockey in a minute.
Yep.
That's right.
Hey, Patrick, mm-hmm. how much excitement was at that Boston and – oh, no, 76ers and Knicks game? Seemed like when the Knicks start rolling, man, all of a sudden everybody lose their mind in New York.
Man, let me tell you something, man. I've got to take a deep breath, Reggie, on that one.
I know.
I got it here in the house. My ladies are dying.
Hang on to your seat, T-Mac. My lawyers
have instructed me not to comment.
two fan groups that get on my nerves more than anybody else are the Cowboys and Knicks fans.
Cowboys and
Lord.
Yes.
And Patrick, it's more so the Knicks fans in New York. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, please qualify because the six of us here in Connecticut wouldn't do shit like that. But please continue.
I'm gonna tell you, man. They got people coming out. I'm so jealous. You ain't seen nothing in 10 years, you know. And I'm happy that the team has gotten better.
Oh
but,
God.
Led by
Big Bang, like Bob Dolan. What do you expect?
Please. But you know, and they played well. They've been well. But you know, folks are going crazy. Oh, we back.
Three games into the season.
It's four games into the season.
Yeah.
That's not even.
And they're losing
it's not even
already.
It's not even. I mean, look. I mean, I you know, I do my periodical peeking in. You know, when they're on, but.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not planning, you know, there is no need to plan a parade unless the criteria of the parade is getting past the first round.
Oh, God.
And that's about it right there.
And I'll settle for that at this point in time right now.
And you're right, they're getting better. And I'm all for that, you know. But,
yeah. My biggest thing is I'm just glad that I don't have 7-year-olds coming up to me and saying, your team sucks after you know, like,
hey, Kyrie Irving on line two. Kyrie Irving on line two. Thank God he's not a Knick. Boy, they go after
please,
him.
Please, please, man.
Right.
I can't say anything about him without saying words that I'm not supposed to say, man. Please give me a freaking break.
Are you really taking advantage of Chris Paddock's Irving?
Yes. Please. Folk out here trying to get paycheck to paycheck, getting vaccinated with kids and whatnot. And, I don't think I can. Man, please shut up.
No shit.
I can hear Joe Tex in the background. Shut up. Ooh.
Yes, indeed.
Come on. Well, there's no excuse.
Gentlemen, we do have to take some time to administer some tough love because as we go into week 8, our gallant men on the field took a 2-8 hit in last week's NFL games. We know that the pressure will come on. We know that the spin will change depending on who wins. But ultimately, everybody's got to be on point when it comes to the field generals and what they're trying to accomplish. You know, I'm here in Philadelphia looking at this, and my Eagles look so overmatched because they have zero linebacker play. What little push they're getting from the front four, they ain't doing it. And then you got Elvis in New York. We was talking about Elvis earlier. We got Elvis in New York. Daniel Jones is Elvis because he's a white imitator. He's just, he's shown mobility. He's shown he can run. But
If he were black, there's no fucking way he would be a New York Giant. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants have made that clear in their hiring, how conservative they are. But since they have Elvis, oh, we'll let Elvis Jones play. And that's what he's going to be Elvis
does that make Zach Wilson Jerry Lee Lewis?
Oh, hell yeah. He's definitely a killer. He's a game killer for the other team. But their racism was slipping because stuff was coming out now. You could see that they weren't trying to play the company line. Their lack of patience was evident. Trey Lance was supposed to start, and they let the porn star start the game. And he got beat by Carson Wentz. Who ain't shit? But it didn't matter. They wanted two white quarterbacks out there, and they got what they wanted.
My perennial question, right up there with has Dabo quit yet in Clemson? But has Mr. Wentz or has Mr. Stafford had their names legally changed to they ain't shit?
That's exactly right. Both of them boys ain't shit, but that's all right. We know that. Allow me, since we have a full quorum now, the Joint Chiefs of Pass will now discuss the situation among the field general. As we, the Joint Chiefs of Pass, now gather to discuss the situation, one of the few teams that was able to escape the slide was the Arizona Cardinals.
They
had business, and they won convincingly 31-5. But the score is what I'm concerned with, gentlemen. Last week's scores were numbers like 31-5, 24-10, 27-3. The NFL has
Giants
26-5. The Giants won, but the NFL has been hyping, score, score, score. FanDuel and DraftKings, we'll give you $1,000 free bets, blah 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 blah, because they're caught up. But what everybody missed, you tell me, from the moment he came into the league as a starter, a Patrick Mahomes team has scored 30 points or less on only two occasions. Woo! And yet, Kansas City scored only 3 fucking points last Sunday.
I can tell you why.
Let me
tell you something. One of the reasons that offensive line ain't what it's supposed to be. Big Orlando Brown, them biscuits he's eating. Holding him back from making blocks.
He went from baby juice to big baby juice. Yes.
I watched as many clips of the game as I could. I'm going, wait a minute, he didn't get beat like that with the Ravens. I mean, obviously, he had some help with the guard position next to him to kind of compensate, but the guard that they got next to him now ain't doing what the other guard did. And he is not playing that well at all. He's playing all right, but not with the money.
Patrick, Baby Zeus is he's 2 butter biscuits short of 400 pounds. Ain't no lie about that shit. Those numbers that they he needs to bring it down to either the butter or the biscuit. He don't.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Patrick. I still can't believe it's not butter, by the way. But that's a whole other
story. But again, I must refer to the scores, gentlemen. We had at least 6 scores that featured the under. Now, we know because of the hype, the NFL has had everybody betting the over. Mm-hmm. And when Kansas City and Tennessee finished up at the end of the day at 27-3, there were a lot of people that were like, "Uh-oh,
Mike, I have a Oliver and the Family Stone theory on this."
Yes, please.
Well, remember the purging that Vegas went through during the first year of the Golden Knights?
Yeah.
When Grandmama was betting on the cute white boy and winning after every
period.
He was
a bad motherfucker. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, me thinks because of all them betting over the over. I think collectively the NFL said, you know, this can't be happening every week. You know, we can't be making these payouts every week. You know, but
that's
wait
right.
a minute. Y'all guaranteed everybody $1 million.
That's exactly right.
You know, what is it, you know, that skinny-ass white woman who keeps talking to me about the rain says if I give
her
a dollar, she'll give me back $200 or $1,000 or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
T,
don't forget about Tiger Paul. Oh, we got Tiger Paul. Damn, that was a bad idea.
Put it this way. Put it this way. Jimmy the Finger, and of course his wife Lady Fingers, they now have three, four, five. They have people driving them to McDonald's now.
That's right. Oh, yeah. You know that's right.
I don't know how true this is, but I've heard that they've had people even eating for them.
Let's remember this guy. With the money the house took in, if you had five games where the under was featured,
mm-hmm.
you're not. See, most folks ain't that shrewd. Most folks think the NFL they're scoring points, and of course, when they're scoring points, they don't really care which team scores the points. They just want the points to add up.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that
mm-hmm.
the XFL games out there.
Yeah.
The announcers were talking about what they need to get to the magic number. Now, that's never been done from the NFL standpoint before.
Right now, Dusty Baker is whipping that ass to get to the magic number. Come on, Dusty,
mm-hmm.
get this ring.
What's the score, Reggie?
Top of the eighth inning, 7-2, the Astros.
All right, Doug. All right, we keep an eye.
Oh, by the way, Mike, just to further that, the NFL only one game was decided by one possession this week, and that was of course the contest between Miami and Atlanta, which was played, which I believe was played in front of a not so full house. In whatever name stadium they're playing in now in Miami.
That's right.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They like the Sharks when they do this Sunday.
By the way, they were chanting, apparently after the game, they were chanting Deshaun after the game in Miami.
Well, that's the question.
That's better than Virginia Tech where they're saying fire the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, please. That's all over the country.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Take a number.
Yeah, that's true because Winston was fixing that 2 weeks ago.
Was this after the fourth or the fifth touchdown by Juwan?
Man,
as C-Mac can tell you, at Winston we have fired legends. So
we don't fuck around. We fire people. There you go.
Like they said in the movie, every good coach has his own theme music.
That's right.
Gotta have your own theme music, gentlemen. But the NFL doesn't give a fuck about theme music. They give a fuck about cash, and they're making more money this last week than they've made since the beginning of the season.
And Mike, let me say something that's going to be very intriguing for tomorrow night's game against the Packers and the Cardinals. That's going to be a game. But you know they're going to fly over and over on that one. They're going to fly over and over. Unless somebody gets hurt on the quarterback. Because I can guarantee you, Rodgers is going to try to put up 50. And you know Murray, he keep coming out thinking, if I ain't putting up 50, I ain't won the game.
Hey, Patrick, why they didn't flex that game to Sunday night football rather than what they're going to have on Sunday night? They should have flexed that game.
They should.
They didn't expect Murray to be that good.
That's true.
And also, I don't think, is there a Sunday night game this week? Because usually they can feed to the World
Series.
Yes.
Cowboys and the Vikings.
Cowboys and the Vikings.
So technically, there's no game on Sunday night.
That's true. I knew somebody was going to say something.
That was too easy.
That was a layup.
It's an interesting premise, Tony. It's interesting because they're going to be doing those one shots over to the box where Jerry Jones is. And if Dallas happens to be whipping the Vikings' ass, he's going to sit there with a nonplussed look on his face because I hate that this nigga is running my ball club.
Mike, what bothers me more is that they won't have a Jerry cam on him because you know he's going to be on his computer when people
he's
are watching.
He's going to be typing. Mm-hmm. I hate that this nigga's leading my team.
You ever see that meme where it shows Kermit the Frog typing like he's out of his, like he's on acid? I can foresee Jerry doing that, you know, during the game after Dak throws his, you know, Dak throws another touchdown pass or what have you.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, that game. Yeah.
Let's put this all in perspective. Okay, so right now, everybody's betting all the money they can possibly bet. There's all the action you can possibly ask for. You would think people would be happy, but no, folks ain't happy.
Hey, Mike, are you insinuating that billions of dollars are being exchanged for watching professional sports?
And guess what? And Mike, let me add to that. There's gonna be some college games that this weekend that go flying out in the Big Ten. Gonna be betting on.
Oh, absolutely.
The line is getting. Don't watch the line of Penn State and Ohio State. That line is gonna be crazy. You know, those games are gonna be in the Midwest. There's some folks might not have a home on Sunday morning. I'm telling you.
That's right.
Mike, SIU Lukies are gonna win the FCS championship this year. Congratulations!
I'll tell you about drinking that Boone Song wine later.
Gary,
they put the wrong juice in his bottle.
Gary, aren't you going to at least wait for the polls from California? Aren't you going to at least wait for the polls from California to come in before you declare victory?
Mike, instead of
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, it's gonna be Grandmama got run over by the spread.
Depending on how you say it to Grandma, the spread might not be a bad thing. You know, there's a difference between let's eat Grandma and let's eat Grandma.
Right. And Patrick, so how much is Jerry ganging on Vegas? Hey, Patrick, how much money is Jersey and them ganging up on Vegas? It seems like they're a big chunk of Vegas these days.
It ain't even close.
Oh, shit.
Vegas is second. Cage close.
What?
Vegas is second. Huh? Well, for sports, for sports betting, it ain't even close.
Damn.
I mean, the real question is, I guess, right now, is who's third?
Yeah.
There's a whole pack of folks that
the
coming in
third.
Well, the only reason why I say he's third because
Jimmy the Fingers and Miss Fingers. Are they third, T-Mac? The Fingers?
No. Reggie, you know when the overseas market will be? You know when the overseas market will be locked in?
When
Shad Khan decides to move the Jaguars to London.
Yeah,
and it's coming.
What about Buffalo Bills may move to Canada?
Yeah, they're going to
Canada. That's a whole new revenue stream for them.
But you know something? If and when Buffalo moves, let me tell you something. They're going to be – you think January 6th is going to be crazy with the white folks? They're going to be – Buffalo who ain't got nothing else to do in Buffalo but snow and cold. Lord,
come on!
Heaven help what they gonna do?
You think they're gonna go for his ride up there, Patrick?
There won't be enough chicken wings to close that state down anytime soon if that shit happens.
We will run out of blue cheese before you know it. Ain't no doubt about that shit.
So if I'm the owner, he better do a Art Modell, leave that part of the country and don't come back.
The funny thing is, Patrick, if the Jaguars were to do the Mayflower Shuffle, no one in Jacksonville would notice.
That's true because they got. Thank you, okay, friend. Because they got two other teams, got the Dolphins and they got the Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Urban Meyer, is he going to take a plane when they lose from London?
He might.
Come to Seattle, Ohio.
his clock is ticking, man. You know, when the season's over, he's going to move back home. Come on, man.
He needs to. His 1 year term is gone.
They might decide to pay him just to leave.
Fred, you ain't too far
wrong.
Don't
give me ideas, Fred.
Might be lucky to have a job in Kansas City where that offense is falling apart. It never fails.
Reggie, I want Eric Bieniemy in Philadelphia because that motherfucking dead roach ass coach that we got here.
He just hired him. Come on now. You ain't giving a man no time. He just hired the brother.
He has no imagination when it comes to utilizing the running game. He's one of these college cardboard motherfuckers.
But he's a young gunslinger. Hey, Michael, you could have been like the Raiders and hired your general manager off the TV. Oh, I'm sorry, Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the way he picked drafts on game day. Hire him as general manager. Al Davis would be rolling over his grave, boy.
What are you doing to the ball? And just goes to show, man. What in the world is that coach of Philadelphia even being in a head coach?
You had guys that put time in for a long time, should have got that shot. I can't forget Sherman Lewis and Mike Holmgren speaking up for a walrus face motherfucker. That sat by, he sat there and they actually let him say, "Oh well, Holmgren develops the offense, blah blah blah." Sherman Lewis did all that fucking work, and all he got for it was a rock and a T-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And Mike, LeBron's getting $50 million to say bye. To say bye.
Get the fuck out. That's exactly right. Yeah, that was GTFO money.
Hey, but Mike, who's the coach I had years ago? The brother that was coaching, the one that got hit by a car. What's my man? The defense coordinator for a long time.
Larry Rose.
Yeah, Ray Rose.
Ray
that
Rose,
man had a stroke and everything, man. The pressure he was under was unreal.
Ray was the Richard Pryor of coaches. One minute he came in there, everything was calm. They were winning. Oh,
yep.
Hi, how you doing? Next year, motherfucker, that's exactly right. He went, because the press went after his black ass. And he was like, well, wait a minute, what happened to you motherfuckers when I first drove up? No. I'm telling you.
Especially in Philly.
Mike had to take them hush puppies and go and get the hell out of there, man, unfortunately.
Oh, hell yeah. And that's why you mentioned them, because I was listening to their bullshit radio station. And they were already trying to put the boot to Jalen Hurts. They were like, can we live with him as our coach, as our quarterback, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Mike
said, to take his spot in it. Yes.
Say, Mike, they should have kept Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but they traded
him. Hey, who just signed Flacco? The
Jets got him back.
Wait. I heard Pitt ain't easy, but damn.
This is exactly what
All American Brigham Young. I thought God wouldn't get hurt. The All American Brigham Young quarterback was Jets.
You forgot, Reggie, that God can't block.
Yeah.
Hello.
Reggie, on top of that, here's the thing.
Yes, sir.
If Joe Douglas is such a veteran scout and scout talent in the NFL, you mean to tell me you have a rookie quarterback? And you got a guy behind him that has gone to pass since Abe Lincoln was president. And you got a brother. You got a brother that played in the NFL, right? They got him as a quarterback. They got Jones as a quarterback, as a non-dress quarterback. You gonna put some guy like Mike White? Who doesn't play anyone behind
anything?
Guys, after playing behind that offensive line this week, he legally changed his name to Mike Even More White.
You keep this shit up. The late night shows will be stealing your material, man. You better watch it,
Chief. I got a copyright guy working on that now. We're going to get it done.
My point is, what were they thinking to think this kid, rookie quarterback, is going to come in because he's a classic poster boy, baby face, blonde blue eyed kid, whose uncle built up, who owns JetBlue, that this kid is going to take over the city.
Damn. JetBlue's so fucked up.
What were they expecting?
My boy put
the best. It's the Jets.
Damn. All I got to say, Consumer Report, if you don't get stuck in St. Charles, don't find JetBlue. Your ass will come back no time soon. Friend of mine in Puerto Rico got stuck 4 days, no JetBlue. Had to go in Southwest.
I bet you his arms were tired.
Oh, man, what you talking about? Especially the headwinds. They were unreal.
It's ridiculous, man.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but I heard a FanDuel commercial on the radio today.
Oh, God.
And,
oh, God.
And, well, get this. They're willing to offer you a free bet up to $1,000. Now, I've heard limits of more than
every day.
But seriously, $1,000
is
free bet.
I heard the same commercial.
If you get this action and jump on in. Now,
is this with
what is the gambling guy to do with that? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mike, is this with or without the rain? That's all I really need.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's free bait, it must be free rain.
Hey, Mike, mm-hmm. Kathy Hughes trying to hustle us the pass a casino here in Virginia. The first black-owned casino. Yeah, right. And guess who suggests it? The Democratic Party, Professor Tim Kaine. They don't want to see it.
Oh, my God.
Easy money.
The Democrat
Easy
Party
money.
Can't come out and say they don't want to support it. A black-owned casino.
Easy money. Easy money.
You can't know that black money don't spend like white money. That's right.
Yeah.
The president's got afros and they got mustaches and shit. They don't have that on the white money. Come on now.
Yeah, nope. And they be rolling the dice against the wall. Down the hall.
I would say a lot of half-eaten sandwiches in aluminum foil, but you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah. I know that's right.
And T, just like they named the beach up in Jersey, Chicken Bone Beach.
I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
One of the things that's troubling me is all this money is passing hands here. Now we know there's goo gobs of money being made. I want to know the difference between how much is a goo and how much is a gob. Can anybody say that?
Accent on the first syllable, Mike. Accent on the first syllable. That's all you need to know.
So, goo. Got
third grade education there, buddy. Don't forget.
I can tell you this much. I think as the year goes on, a couple of teams are going to roll the dice.
Shit.
I hate to say it, but I think the Buccaneers, it's anything. The Buccaneers are carrying this the league so far, because everybody's betting on them to win.
That's true.
But on top of that, I don't know the team yet. I couldn't speculate, but I sense there's going to be a team that's going to come out the blue. I don't believe that they're going to win the whole thing.
Where you put the Buffalo Bills at?
They're in the mix, man. They're in the mix.
I think they come out of the AFC this year.
One of the things, you know, 17 games, I'm looking at how guys – are imagining these games for 17 games. Because you got 17 games plus the three or four games based on how you finish to win the Super Bowl. That's a lot of beating down of the body, bro.
I'm tired just thinking about that.
Yeah. So there are teams who, I don't care what they say, that are managing bodies to get to the playoffs. So that they can make their move,
tell me, it's
quite obvious.
Which team do you think will make the best use of that extra game? Now that we have 17 games, which team will it matter most to?
Depends on the injury.
Oakland Raiders.
Red, you ain't wrong.
Well,
let's put it this way. 2-0 since the Grand Wizard got fired. So
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I'm gonna say Green Bay Packers. I think Pretty Boy, that bad man Aaron Rodgers, got something to prove.
You think okay. Serpico has got one more title left in him?
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. Well, very good.
I think this is a big test for the Cardinals. I would love to see that air raid offense.
I don't trust the Cardinals head coach. I'm sorry.
Neither do I. But you see, this is one of those teams where, remember Billy Cunningham 76ers? I mean the coaching Billy Cunningham. They won a title in spite of his ass. That's how talented they were.
Damn.
It took,
yeah,
it took,
yeah.
So it took a while. Bush, it didn't get expected.
May I offer the Baltimore Ravens for
their defense disappointed me.
Yes, indeed.
I think look, there is no 85 Bears. Hell, there are 1974 Giants out there at this point in time. Right now.
That's right.
But again, you know, now that they've had their bust in the mouth, I think. I think the other sleeper is right within their own division, and I can't believe I'm going to say this.
No, don't say it, T. Don't say
yes.
it.
No, I got
yes.
it. I got it.
I
got
yes.
it.
I know what you're going to say.
It is now a final in H-Town, 7-2. So this guarantees three games in Atlanta, and somewhere in New York, Mary McLeod, Manfred is not happy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Hey,
Patrick, you know what pissed me off, Patrick? The Atlanta Braves get into the damn World Series despite the leadership there as far as the governor, and they couldn't get the All-Star game. I looked at it and said, God, you must
have
a
bad at the end of the day, they're going to wind up making more because they're going to get three games all next year. They're going to get three games.
Yep. God got a bad
they'll make up the money.
Damn.
They'll make up their money. They'll definitely make up their money.
And, Reg, you have to understand something. Who had the All-Star game? Who had the best record? You know, so Tony's right.
Man.
They're going to make more money off the World Series than the All-Star game.
That's why I said God got a bad sense of humor. I saw them beat the Dodgers. I said, I could have two black men.
Reg, look, he can't block for the Jets. He's got to make his money somewhere.
Gentlemen, I think gentlemen, I have one piece of pressing business before we get the final thoughts. And we're talking about the former GM Bowman, this motherfucker Aldridge, and all the rest of the dick dastardly motherfuckers who are involved in the sex scandal. We now have the information. We will pass sentence.
Please
the motherfucking court. We charge the Chicago Blackhawks for the National Hockey League with 5 counts of dumb fuckery. 10 counts.
How you spell that? I gotta write that word. How you spell that?
Of bullshit in the first degree. I sent all these motherfuckers, Shovel Bayoff, Bowman, Aldridge, and everybody who went along with this fucking charade and charged them guilty of motherfuckery in the first degree.
Motherfucking thuggery. My ship hurts.
Having said that,
God.
Now we can go to final thought.
Damn.
I appreciate the chefs coming in and warming up our lives and keeping the pot hot tonight.
Reginald, if you would please partake of some dialogue.
You know, it's interesting to see a certain coach at Clemson chew out a brother's ass, and I'm still trying to figure out. I can't help myself, Patrick. I got to give that old cracker a shot at that old cracker down at Clemson. I'm sorry. But it just amazed me how the TV cameras couldn't wait to have that old cracker just wearing a black tail out on the sideline. And it kept moving the damn picture every time the player had his helmet off. They made sure they zoomed in on his ass. And that old cracker coach down in Clemson still was chewing on his ass 5 minutes later. Now, I don't know if I'm his parents. I'm like, why in the hell should my kid be subjected to this? You know, you got embarrassed, my young man, on national TV. You're going to chew them once. Okay, fine. Then you get back to chewing on his ass again because your team and your coaching ain't shit. Can't do like Mike.
That's right.
But it's just interesting how a young black man had to be degraded on TV over and over again by this certain cracker-ass coach.
Oh, he's just coaching him up. That's right. Yeah, right.
Thanks for the piece you showed me about the Brennan Sands coming the 22nd, and then that was sweet. I'm looking forward to that, and we need to collaborate and get together on that when they come here, man. Because even my lady know, but I'm going, and she ain't in the sports unless she watching the Knicks. But she said, "Oh, they coming back. Coming back."
Your wife's a Knicks fan, Patrick? All I'm gonna say is what a tortured soul she must be. That's all I can say.
Wait, had a Nick jacket, but
I think it'd be nice to watch it.
Got this Nick jacket. I'm going, what? Well, she gave it to her nephew. I'm going, what? Do that thing I got. So, anyway, that's another story.
Tortured soul.
Interesting. Already, they've, one of Mike's favorite people in sports, particularly in football and draft, Todd McNucklehead of ESPN.
I can't wait to hear this one.
Has put out his list for top quarterbacks to be drafted next year.
Oh, good Lord.
Reg?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for this?
I can't wait to hear this.
From the state of Virginia, Malik Willis of Liberty is his number one pick. Let's put it this way: it's now October of 2020. By April of 2022, he'll be a tight end perspective.
Oh, you know that.
Like Fred said, they're going to rip him up. Thank you. Wide receiver. You're too religious, whatever. Everything they could get him out of that position. But right now, it's interesting. Todd McNucklehead has some number one quarterback in the draft.
I can't believe it.
By the way,
the white boy from Pitt, the one they're drooling over, the boy from Pitt. Can't believe that.
They got him number three.
By the way, Patrick, Knucklehead's anonymous on line one.
The Lord said, thou shalt not run that wheel route. No. Thou shalt run the skinny coat.
Yeah, Mike in the background, liberty.
Mm-hmm. No, this is great material. I gotta write this down. This is great material.
Bunch of heathens.
I know. Speaking of the heathens, yes. Now, Professor, if you will, please, the floor is yours.
Well, first and foremost, Winston-Salem State has now won three in a row. Too bad we're not playing anybody from Virginia the rest of the year. But anyway,
that's a smack in the face.
it's good. We live in a country. You know, to see progress over the years. But last Friday night, we lost one of our giants here. For the first time in history, we had a black sheriff in our county and adjoining county. And young man, Herb Peterkins, lost a bout with cancer last Friday night.
Okay.
And he was the sheriff of Hope County. And Hope County is kind of like suburban, Fayetteville. It's like the bedroom community.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in a county that's like Mayberry or Bucks Hustle. He was in his 22nd year in office, and I remember him as a beat cop here in Fayetteville back in the day. And he's a graduate of Fayetteville State, so he's, you know, HBCU lineage too. But if you saw the Floyd services from here in North Carolina. He was one of the ones that was the guy with the sheriff who spoke during Floyd's homegoing services here, it's a big loss, and it shocked everybody because, you know, he's always bounced back from various things, and like as they say, you know, all I can say about it, he was always good people. But the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, We're in a situation now where everybody's trying to get on board with HBCU this and HBCU that. But at the same time, you know, something we were talking about, and the thing that I thought about most is all they're doing is there are people out there now who are recognizing what we've been recognizing for years. They see now what we have been seeing up close and personal for years. So, you know, Mike, I don't think he went to the HBCU.
And
T-Mac, you might as well have gone to one because you hung around one, and I know it rubs off on you. Gary, you were Saluki, so you're our sister institution, so you cool. But the thing we got to do, and Mike, I'm gonna have you something in the next couple of days,
you mentioned
to me the other day, and you know,
yes,
we got to. It just shows we got to continue to tell our story, because if we don't, there's a movement, and all that stuff we talk about with earlier with Virginia politics, it ain't just Virginia, North Carolina.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And if you know anything about, you know, if they say Whistle Dixie, well, all them states that Whistle Dixie are not in the South. All them states that Whistle Dixie ain't east of the Mississippi. So
you right about that?
We gotta get on point, because I mean, you know, if we don't do it now, it won't get done. And our, you know,
right.
we can't leave all this to our kids either. I mean, that's just par for me. It would be an easy out. But anyway,
that's right.
You can follow me on Facebook, HBCU Heritage Center, and or Fayetteville Profiled in Black, and or Black Heritage Review. You can go to Black Heritage Review to get books on HBCU football and other books. We're gonna have a new ad up in the next few days.
There you go.
Fred, I want to ask him what Fred has expounded on. They are seriously trying to negotiate through the presence of Dion and other people that his promotional company and people that's on his tree of influence to put an HBCU school against a major school within the year.
Oh yes, now we talking.
If he ain't gonna put the money there, what they would need to have in place, you can't do that in a year. I'm sorry.
I tell you what.
I know what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we set up a custom against the Indian situation.
I will say this. Money talks. And I'll leave it at
that. That's right. Well, all I got to say is, Tonto, we're surrounded by Indians. What will we do? What do you mean, we, white man?
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah, jump on that, Apache.
Yeah, Tonto. Where's Tonto? In Native American language, is stupid, okay?
Uh-huh. I hear you.
The word means stupid, okay? So...
And they let them get away with that all those years?
Yes. Atlanta Braves and the Florida State Seminoles.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right now. Stop it. Because the Washington Football Club has changed the name. Right? It's time to move forward.
Hold on, money. Mm-hmm.
Guys, you're not ignorant no more. You know what's wrong. You know what's right. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, sir.
Remember, go on Saturday.
Yay!
And the music box was like 19. 70-71 remix.
Oh, see, he tried to get some ass. We know that. I know that's good. Get them draws. Surrender them draws. That's right. I understand that too. Raylan McCove returns Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 on the Pacific Coast Sunday.
I told y'all watch again. Yeah, rolling on the sixes, better watch Big G.
Mm-hmm.
G's a quiet one, but roll up on you.
Sunday night, 7 p.m.
Literally.
The Blue Bike Special, 7 early 70s, followed by the Music Therapy Mindstream. T-Mac, come on with it.
The views expressed on these shows are not necessarily those of the opinions of the government. But they're usually pretty true. A story out of this great city of Cleveland tonight. The Cleveland Guardians are suing the Cleveland Guardians.
No,
what
did
you
say? Baseball team. I knew it was coming.
The Cleveland Guardians are flat.
Yep.
A flat track roller derby team, also known as the Guardians, have filed suit against the Cleveland baseball team.
Yep. I love it.
When teams use the same name.
Right.
So long.
When the team unveiled its plans for the new name in July, it said it was aware of the Guardians roller derby team. The baseball team said it had taken the proper legal steps to appropriate the name. Basically said, hey, we're the Cleveland Indians, you fuck, basically, in so many ways.
True.
The Derby team's lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court of Northern Ohio alleges the ball club shortchanged the Derby team. The lawsuit also says negotiations between the Derby and ball club broke down this past Tuesday, October 26th. Quoting Christopher Pardo, the team's head attorney, Major League Baseball would never let someone name their lacrosse team the Chicago Cubs if it was in Chicago or their soccer team, the New York Yankees, if they were that of New York. No, they would just call them. They would just call them the motherfuckers from the Bronx, like everyone else does. the same laws that protect Major League Baseball from brand confusion that would occur in these examples also operate in reverse to prevent what the Indians are trying to do here. By taking the Cleveland Guardians' name overnight, the Indians knowingly and willfully beficerated, I love that word, beficerated, the rights of the original owners of that name, the real Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, my God.
That is too funny. Yep. That is too funny.
To be continued. Well, you know what? The laws have been messing with folks for a while here. I think as we, before we sign off tonight, we should show you why what black people do is so integral to the collective culture. Now, it wasn't that long ago I was up on Woodycrest Avenue in the Bronx with my brothers from Total Music Concepts, making music, doing block parties and gigs and all that other fun shit. However, there were people who were against hip-hop music. There were people who were against what they called rap music. Even to this day, never mind that 40-plus years have gone by and hip-hop has been influenced in everything from doing commercials for laxatives to toilet paper to everything else. But the one thing they really were afraid of was manifested when there was an actual channel whose programming was hip-hop oriented. I've played this song before, but I want everybody to pay attention to just how many musicians would have gotten paid if this song had gotten constant airplay like any hit. There are influences of James Brown, Instant Funk, The Temptations, Kool Moe Gang, and others. And when I added up the number of musicians responsible, it was somewhere about 30. So you imagine this song going number one and 30 musicians getting paid royalties theirs, you understand why they really wanted to suppress hip-hop. So we'll see you Saturday, 2 p.m. Actually, we'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. with another Halloween groove, courtesy of the Blueberry Tea Set. Saturday, 2 p.m., followed by Gary North Gray at 4. And, well, nothing more needs to be said except...
I got so much trouble on my mind, refuse to lose. Hit your ticket, hear the drummer get wicked. The crew to you to push the back, the black attack. So I sack and tap and slap the mac. Now I'm ready to mic it. Hear my favoritism, Rolo. Never be a brother like me, go solo. Laser Anastasia Major. Raise the blaze, your brain and train ya. The way I'm living, forgiving what I'm giving up. On the flex, give me now. I don't know about later, and for now I know how to avoid the paranoid. Man, I've had it up to here. Yeah, I wear, got them going in fear. Rhetoric, fair and red, just a better go. And I'm quick to go find the hard rammer. What's the key from getting dirt? Taking some way, the way back in the better days. Raw, metaphysically bold, never follow the code. Still drop the load, never question what I am. God knows, cause it's coming from the heart. What I got, better get some. Get on up, hustler of culture. Snake bitten, been spit in the face. But the rhyme keeps fitting, respect been given. How's your living? Now I can't protect, I paid off defect. Check the record and record, intentional wreck. Raid, off as the minaret. Made the call, took the fall, broke the laws. Not my fault that they're falling off. Known as fair square throughout my years. So I growl at the living cow. Black to the bone, my home is your home. But welcome to the Teledome. Yeah.
to yo. So now go Bronco. Crucifixion ain't no fixin'. So-called chosen, frozen, a party made to whoever pleases. Billy got me like Jesus. I'd rather sing, bring, think, reminisce. Bow to brother while I'm instinct. Every brother ain't a brother. Cause a color just as well to be undercover. Backstab, grab the flag from the back of the lab. Told the rap, get off the rag. Glad to say I got sold down the river. Still some quiver when I deliver. Never to say I never knew I had a clue. Word was heard plus hard on the boulevard. Lies, scandalized in facing. Streets of hate who celebrate with me. I rope for dope the evil with righteous bobbing and weaving. And let the good get even. Come on down. But welcome to the Terror Dome.
Come on down. Come on down. Yo, B, 1990s and all that.
Holding the race against time, the pit in the pendulum. Take the rhythm and rhymes while I'm bending them. Snakes blowing up the lines of design. Run upon the fans, I'm spinning them. How to fight the power, cannot run and hide. For it shouldn't be suicide. In a game, a fool without the rules. Got a hell of a nerve to criticize. Every brother ain't a brother. Cause a black hand squeezed a mouth of extra land. The shooting of Huey Newton from the hand of a nigga pulled the trigger.
Come on down. Come on down.
Would you join me please and welcome me in? This week the Zeke and blame somebody else. When you destroy yourself first, nothing worse than the mother's pain of a son slain in prison. Her can't wait for the state to side the face. So this jam I dedicate places with the racist faces. Sample one of many places. Weak, weak, in feet, I speak. From a lesson learned in Virginia. I don't smile in a line of fire, go wild. And running from bass and drums, beats and violence. What you do, get your head ready. Instead of getting physically sweaty. When I get mad, I put it down on the pad. Give you something that you never had. Controlling, fear of high rolling. God bless your soul and keep living. Never allowed, kicking it loud. Dropping a bomb, brain game, intellectual Vietnam. Move as a team, never move alone. Well, welcome to the Terror Dome.
Come on! Yo, look at you, look at you now. You ain't one of those things for me. Now look at you. Silly, stupid.
Wow.
Boing.
And the check is in the mail, about 32 musicians. Everybody go safe, stay safe, be safe. Wash your hands, wash your ass, watch your back. Good night.